And now, as we continue with our studies in the book of Daniel, I want to read to you today some verses from chapter 3. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. That will be sufficient for our reading today. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Again, our Father, we approach thy holy presence. We bow our hearts before thee. We thank thee that thy word has instructed us that we can come at all times to the throne of grace, here to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we present to thee today our prayers with thanksgiving. We thank thee for all the blessings that we enjoy. But we pray unto thee now that thy blessing may spread out to others. O God, remember every listener at this time, and every home circle that's represented with those that are listening. May thy richest blessing be their portion. Remember thy dear people today who are in difficult situations. Make thy presence very real to them. Draw each of us closer to thyself. For the Lord Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now as we read through this chapter, chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, we can learn some things relative to principles which characterize the times of the Gentiles. In this chapter there is demonstrated the foolishness of the king in his display of what we might call worldly wisdom. But over against that, there is the faith of the three young Hebrew princes who were captives. And we can see their faith being demonstrated during the time of their great testing. It is also worthy of note that in the early stages of the times of the Gentiles, that the political power sought to control the religious activity of the people by commanding them to bow down and worship the great image. In like manner, when the times of the Gentiles are nearing an end, there will be a years again when there will be the setting up of an image and a command being made for all men to worship the idol. You'll find that when you come over to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. here is what we read. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and didn't live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now I have read to you these verses and drawn your attention to that particular scripture to show that what was true with regards to the early days of the times of the Gentiles will be true again when these days are coming to an end. But today we want to direct your thoughts to what one might term the foolishness of unbelief. Now, there are three ways we want to view this. First of all, the construction of the image. And then there is the ceremony of dedication. And then there is the command of the king. Now, when you come to examine Babylon, there is something foundational about this that we must understand. Away back in the book of Genesis, just after the flood, something very strange happened. Men were supposed to scatter out, and they were to multiply and replenish the earth. Now, instead of doing that, they gathered together and they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Now, right there in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, we learn something concerning the great character of Babel. This was the record of the building of the Tower of Babel. It starts off with a consultation, but it's a consultation of man with man. They're having their conference together, and God is out of all the reckoning. Then there's to be the construction. They're going to construct a city, and they're going to construct a tower. Now, so far as the city was concerned, that would be a political organization. So far as the tower was concerned, if you go into the matter and study it, you'll find the tower was to be a religious rallying point, and it was all to be to the glory of man. Let us make us a name. And then the whole thing finished up in utter confusion. Now, you take these principles over to the book of Daniel, and you find the same thing is prevalent here, because right away there is the construction of the image. May I suggest that here we have a display of the pride of man in violation of the divine principles. When God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he gave to them the standards for their national life as well as the standards for their moral life, and these standards, you will remember, were given to them, and you usually refer to them as the Ten Commandments. Now, when God was giving to the nation of Israel these commandments, he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now then, it's obvious that when God gave his commandments to his people for the guidance of the nation and for the guidance of their religious life, they were instructed here that they would have one God and only one. And they were not to make any images. They were not to have a graven image or any likeness of anything. They wouldn't make any little idols and bow down to these idols. Now remember, whether the little image is made of stone or wood or any gold or silver or any precious substance, it makes no difference what the substance is. They were not to have idols. Yet, here we find a Gentile king who is going to construct for himself a great image. Now, you ask yourself the question, I wonder what was it that prompted this man to build this great image. When you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, it was pride. It was pride that caused these men to say, we'll build a city that would be the political center, and we'll build this great tower to represent the heavens, for that's the idea behind it. And they were going to have their great religious gathering center. But remember, the living God was not at all in all their thoughts. Now here, when you come to the book of Daniel, the same idea is behind the mind of this man called Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to make an image. Now, look at the particular construction of the image. It says he made an image of gold. Then it tells us something, giving us a description of it. It was to be 60 cubits, that's 60 cubits, 90 feet high, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, 9 feet broad. No doubt this was an image of himself or an image of a man. It was to be set up perhaps on a pedestal. And here it would be a large thing set up on the plain of Dura. It would be very impressive, anyone approaching it. And no doubt when the eastern sun was shining on it, and this thing glittering as gold, whether it was made of solid gold, it could have been, but whether or not, it may have been made of wood and overlaid with gold. But whether or not it was, when the sun would shine upon it, it would look as gold and would be shining. Be very, very impressive. And this was all for the pride of man. Now, learn a little lesson here, if I may so suggest it to you. In chapter 2, this king was lying on his bed, and in the dream of the night, he saw a great image in this vision. But you will remember when we studied chapter 2 that the image that he saw in his dream only had a head of gold. It was, of course, the image of a man. It had a head of gold, and the breast and the arms were of silver, coming down to the thighs, and there you have brass, going down into the legs of iron, and then the feet were iron mingled with miry clay. There was deterioration in the value of that great image. Now, when Daniel made known the meaning of that vision to Nebuchadnezzar, he told him that that golden head represented him, and likewise, of course, represented the great Babylonish Empire. But that empire, represented by the golden head, would have to give place to another empire that would arise inferior to the first. and it would be of silver. Now then, a number of years have passed, and Nebuchadnezzar decides to build for himself a great image. But notice, the image that he is going to construct will be an image of gold, suggesting this. Why should his empire give place to another empire? If the head of gold in the dream, or the vision of the night that he had, if that head of gold represented him and his empire, why shouldn't he construct a whole image of gold, suggesting that he wanted his empire to remain all the time? You see, it was pride in his heart. And now because of the pride of his heart, he makes this great display in violation of divine principles. You see, again, there is something else you've got to remind yourself of, and it's this. There was a time when men had a knowledge of God. But a strange thing happened. Even when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but they became vain in their imaginations. And because they became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now these verses quoted to you from Romans chapter 1 prove to us conclusively what was done here by Nebuchadnezzar as recorded in the book of Daniel. Here he is in the pride of his heart. Instead of glorifying God, he glorifies himself, he glorifies man, and he constructs this massive image, puts it up there on the plain of Dura, and this was in violation of divine principles when God alone should be worshipped. But then, not only is there the construction of the image, we come to the point where we see the ceremony of dedication. I want you to note the great multitude who attended and the type of music they heard. Now, when that image was to be unveiled, the great ceremony of dedication, he called together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. Not one of them was left out. Every man who occupied a position of rule, right from Nebuchadnezzar downward, were commanded to come to this great day of dedication. Of course, I would say this, that when they had the command given to them to come there, I don't suppose they understood what it was for. They just knew that it was to be a great day, something was to be unveiled, the king was going to make a speech of some kind, and so at the king's command, they had to be present. Now, it was only after they came that they were told this, that a herald cried aloud and said this, "Here is the king's message now to all the peoples and the nations and the languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of all these musical instruments, when you hear all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Here then was the ceremony of dedication, in plain words. The king was demanding now that his people would fall in with his particular brand of religion, that they were all to fall down and worship the image. That's why it would appear that the image was the image of a man. And then associated with this was the music. Now, here we have the picture of the civil power forcing this universal religion upon the people. All the governors and the different rulers had to appear for the dedication of the image. And then the whole thing took on this religious aspect. No doubt, as I have inferred already, they didn't expect it to be a religious ceremony when they first came. They simply would understand that it was something of a political nature when the king was going to not only unveil this great statue, but would make a speech. But now there's a lot of music there as well. So not only are they going to see this awe-inspiring image of gold, but they're going to listen to the music of this great band with all kinds of musical instruments, everything they could think of in the orchestra. No doubt also the Chaldean priests would approach chanting some of their Babylonian songs. Now you ask the question, why all this? Simply to stir up the religious emotions and aid in this way the worship of an idol. It is intensely interesting that the ancient Babylonian worship with its ceremonials and chanting seems to be reproduced today. We must be very careful about these things. But now, in the midst of it all, there is the command of the king. Now, will they obey the king's command? Here is a new kind of religion, with a view to unite all the peoples together in this idolatry. Now, I read to you from the book of Revelation. May I remind you again that there, when the times of the Gentiles will be nearing an end, there will be a great move to have a worldwide religion. You can call it what you like. You may have a fancy name for it. But if it's a worldwide religion, according to the Word of God, it will be an idolatrous religion. For there a man again will set up an image representing a man. And the command will be given that people are to worship the image of this beast. There's another place in the Bible where it is termed the abomination of desolation, and it will be set up in the holy place. And now those that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the effulgence of the very God of heaven, he who was God manifest in flesh, he who could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Men rejected him who was the truth, and then the day will come when they're going to accept a man who is the lie. Now let me remind you, my friend, the day is fast approaching, coming very near, when the whole world will be prepared to bow down and not only worship the beast, but they'll worship the dragon who gives the beast his power, and they'll be willing to bow down and worship the very image of the beast. So the things that characterized the times of the Gentiles in the beginning will characterize the times of the Gentiles as they near the end. But again, I remind you, this simply portrays to us the foolishness of unbelief. In our next study, we will look at the faith of the believers, those three young princes of Judah.